Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 9:06. Welcome back, everyone. We really appreciate you sticking and staying with us tonight. And of course, it's time for Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, and we are starting out with a bang. If you've never heard of Judy McLean, she's playing the role of Joanne in a play called Company. And this is the role that Patti LuPone played in the 2022 revival of this piece. Now, Company is coming to town November 14th and 19th, and Judy will be a part of this for sure. She is joining us now on the Caldwell Banker hotline, and we sure appreciate you calling for you sticking and staying with us tonight, Judy. Thank you.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, my gosh, I'm having a blast. I mean, it seems like everything is moving really fast. My lips are not keeping up with my brain, you know? It's amazing.
Me too. Listen, I'm out. We have a night off tonight. I'm out having, you know, dinner and a cocktail, so it's great.
So you guys are doing this November 14th through the 19th. I thought for sure it might be even Thanksgiving Day, no?
Yeah. Well, no, we're not in Minneapolis on Thanksgiving. We go to Charlotte by Thanksgiving, but we're here the next week, just whatever this Monday is coming up through Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, this play for Stephen Sondheim is huge, gigantic, and it was wildly popular on Broadway as well. And it resonated with younger audiences. Tell me about that, because some people say,
Well, it is, because, you know, interesting, in the 1970s when it was first initially done, this show, it was a man playing the lead role of Bobby. But now Bobby has been, in this revival, has been changed to a beautiful African-American woman, which is amazing.
Oh, is it me? It should be me.
It's you, darling.
Just saying.
It's you. Come on, join us on stage.
Girl, don't tempt me. So, I'll be there. I'll be up on you. So here you are doing this particular piece, and it's got to be really remarkable for you knowing that this is a really famous piece.
Well, you know, it's one of his most amazing pieces he's ever written, Stephen Sondheim. And George Firth, who wrote the book, is pretty amazing, too. But it's lovely because this is a whole reinvented. We have, you know, a woman in the role of Bobby that's usually played by a man, right?
Right,
who's
right.
At the age of 35 when she's making all these life decisions. And, you know, so she's going to all her friends who are married and in relationships. And we have now have a gay couple in there, which wasn't in that. But now it's two men instead of two women. One of the couples, but it's about relationships and the ups and downs and what relationships bring, right? You know, the good and the bad with the relationships. And it's very funny, you know, because I think it allows itself to laugh at itself, which is great. We bring some comedy to it, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. When plays allow us to laugh at these things, it really heals. It heals us.
And, it does.
It's just, even if it's just a little bit, it makes a difference. And theater is one of those things that can change a life.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of theater. I've done it for all my life, right? But when people come, it's very thought-provoking. We have a really young crowd that comes. It's funny. This show has gotten a very young following. People in their 30s and making life decisions.
Oh, 30 is very young? Didn't know that.
Right? Yeah. Well, and they're mid-30s, I should say. Mid-30s, 40s. And they're, like, coming because Bobby's in her... She's 35. She's having a 35th birthday. And when you can laugh at relationships and look at the craziness of relationships, it makes it easier to be in one, right?
Right.
Humor brings everything.
We hope so.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about plays. They can change your mind, right? I mean, I've been sitting in the audience and watching a play that I had never seen before, and all of a sudden I'm going, I should really consider that. I should really think about that statement, right?
Right.
That's what I love about theater.
That's what it's about. That's what theater does. It, like, brings another perspective sometimes.
Yeah, and it would be impossible to convince me to be a part of one, but I would definitely go see it.
So you're not going to be Bobby, I guess.
Exactly.
I'm going to count you out.
You're going to have to count me out, girl. I got too much going on this body. No.
You know, people think Sondheim's so serious, but there is so much funny in this. And people came back. We're in Chicago right now, and people have coming back like 3 and 4 times. They've come to the stage door and gone like, I had to come back because it's so funny. It makes me feel good to come and see it, you know, which is great.
Right.
Right? and made me think and, you know, put me in another place. It's pretty cool. It's really an incredible piece. I'm so thrilled taking it around the country, you know.
It's a big deal.
I can't wait to see what Minneapolis thinks of it.
Yeah,
Minneapolis,
congratulations.
Like, they are on point with their theater, man.
Yeah.
They are on point. They know theater. So I'm really looking forward to the audiences there.
And
honestly,
we're starting to see more and more of Minnesotans, native Minnesotans, actually being involved in these important pieces. And of course, we have a Minnesota native in the show this time, and we're welcoming home Emma Stratton, Emma, who plays Jenny.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
and is originally right. from Minnesota with many family and friends. So, I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. We're going to her parents' house on Monday night to go, like, you know, hang out with them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Okay, what is your favorite thing about this particular piece?
You know, I get to play an amazing part. She's this woman who's of a certain age, and I get to be drunk on stage. This is really, really
fun.
You
say you get to be drunk on stage?
I do.
That's what she said.
I do. You know, I get to be drinking and kind of, it gives you a lot of freedom when you're like that, right? So not only do you have a lot of freedom on stage being an actor, but then you add that element and it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, and
you know, you could just say anything, do anything, you know, that's kind of fun, right?
That's
gives
awesome.
You a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also we have a great cast. I mean, our cast is this group of funny, kind, compassionate people, which I'm just loving. We're traveling the country with them, so we got to like each other, right?
You have to like each other. That is one of the complications of being in a play. Because sometimes you got people that are coming in and going out, coming in and going out. And those that are coming in are not necessarily the same as those that went out, right?
Absolutely.
Not easy.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're really, really, we're really lucky that we all get along really, really well. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of great that we're bringing Sondheim to the rest of the country when a lot of people don't know this show. They say company. What the heck is that? Even my family.
Right.
In Pennsylvania has been around theater for a lot, but they're like, what is that? But it's great to watch people discover it, you know? Really fun.
And discovering it
really
is the beginning. It's the beginning of love. It's the beginning of falling in love with
everything.
This whole process, right?
Right.
So what is the one thing that you look at when it comes to doing theater? Do you say to yourself, oh my gosh, this is a huge piece. I got to do it. I got to be a part of this. And then you find out.
I wasn't going to go out and do this on tour. You know, because I've been in New York forever. I did Mamma Mia on Broadway for 11 years, and I've been in New York, and I'm a working actor. You know, I've always said I wanted to be a working actor. But there's something special about this piece, you know, to be able to do. As actors, we all revere Stephen Sondheim. So to be able to go and take it to the rest of the country who hasn't seen, like I said, some Sondheim before, is pretty amazing. I mean, this piece, you don't get to work on material. I can work on this every night I'm on stage. I find something different. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to find, right? Every night we want to find something new and fresh. And so every audience is different. So whatever they give me, I get something different. So I respond in a different way to the audience. The audience is another character, right?
You know, so I'm a singer. And for me, in theater does so much to change lives, change families, change situations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's so important. And young people are really running to theater. So I'm so grateful that this is coming to town.
Me too. And I mean, the thing is, you know, a lot of people like sit in front of their Netflix and sit and watch television, but you're not part of what's going on. We hear you guys. Like, we hear the audience. We respond to what you respond to. We feed off your energy. It's a give and take. You know what I mean? So that's always exciting me about live theater. That's the difference between going to see a movie. They're not responding to what you're doing. That's already been done. Right. Live theater is in the moment. You know, mistakes happen. We react in different ways. We take up our energy from the audience. That's the beauty of it, right?
That's why I love doing live theater. Okay, last question very quickly. How did you deal with having this whole pandemic happen with theater? That was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah. How did you survive it?
Well, I was in New York City by myself, actually, living by myself. And I did a lot. I started teaching more on Zoom, which was an amazing thing. Because I have students in China and Scotland and all these other places. So Zoom opened up the world for me, right, for teaching voice. But it was hard. A lot of theaters did online things, which I did. Theaters I worked at before, we did concerts and things like that. But I sang in my living room a lot. I sang just to sing. I just would sing. I think through a show that I did or had done before, because singing makes me alive. It makes me feel in a different way than I feel when I'm doing anything else. So I would do it for myself. I learned how to play the ukulele and would sing by myself with my, and my building would get together every night at 6 o'clock, and we'd all look out our windows and sing songs together, which was really cool in New York City.
Right.
So that was a really cool thing. The 7 o'clock applause was not something that was wasted on me. I was out my window every night applauding the, you know, essential workers and screaming out my window and banging my pots and pans. And it was intense in New York City. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty intense, but I used my music to get me through it. Honestly, I really did.
Well, I tell you, I'm so excited about it. It will be at the Orpheum Theater, correct?
Yep.
And we are so excited that you guys are coming. Are tickets still available?
Yeah,
do you know if they're still available?
Me. It's really cool.
Yeah,
I
and of
it.
Course, if people want more information, where do they go?
Go to the website, Company Tour Broadway, and go and you can see where we're playing, what times the shows are, how much it is, buy some tickets. Come see us. I mean, it's incredible, right?
I'm going to do my best. I want to meet you, woman.
You'll have a good time, I promise.
I want to meet you, Judy. I want to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Come say hello.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Are you too. All right. Talk to you soon.
That is Judy McLean. And the name of the piece is Company. Go check it out. It's really quite spectacular, I've heard. We're going to be back in a moment.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. I must tell you, I love this song for the holidays. It's one of my absolute favorites, and it's nice to hear it again. Why? Because our upcoming program is called Chill for the Rhythmically Speaking Dance Artistic group, and they are doing great things. The entire Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack will be played live and danced to it. So that's a really big deal. This is running December 1st through December 3rd at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall in downtown St. Paul. Now, this show has become a beloved holiday tradition for many who have been thrilled to see it return for the first time in 4 years, and is an excellent option for Yuletide revelers of all ages. Kids 12 and under are free. The show has a start time that is earlier than normal for a lot of live theater, and it runs about an hour, making it an ideal option for families. Well, joining us to talk about it is Aaron Liebhart, who is the executive director of Rhythmically Speaking Dance, and it's the artistic and executive director, Aaron Liebhart. How you doing, Aaron?
Hi, Darlin. Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
I am fighting with that last name of yours. It's beautiful, though.
Liebhart.
Oh, I love it. I could say that over and over again. Okay, so Rhythmically Speaking, you guys have been, you know me, I have had a chance to interview you before, and it's been being involved in what you do is so different from some of the other dance studios, right? I find it quite remarkable what you guys do. Tell me what's new with Rhythmically Speaking and how well you guys are doing.
Thank you. I appreciate those compliments. This year marks our 16th season, which is kind of crazy for me to think about. But we're just grateful to be able to have made it through the pandemic as a small arts organization, and to be to have found ways to be creative through that and to keep making dance. We love sharing our brand of jazz dance that is really accessible. There's a lot of improvisation. It's really groove driven, and it's very interaction based between the performers, so it's easy to connect to, and that's something we really enjoy bringing to the public. In terms of what's new, we went on our first tour last year. We went to New York City. Yeah, so that was kind of a big deal. We made our debut at the Kohl Center in downtown Minneapolis. We expanded our outreach programming massively. So it's been a flagship year, and we're looking forward to doing more work.
My goodness. You know, one thing with dancers, you guys work so hard, so very hard. And knowing when you finally get on that stage and that the audience is just screaming for you, right? They're just so excited. Must be, you know, the end all for the whole event. When you see that, do you look around and look into the faces of those, whether they are adults or children, and you see what it all means to them? That's got to be a great moment.
I think that's what's so special about this show, is the content. So the entire Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack played live and danced. So many people are familiar with this Vince Guaraldi classic jazz music that was the soundtrack right. to this familiar film. And so it speaks to people and has like a sense of tenderness about it. And so dancing to this music, we really get to kind of connect with the audience with material that's really special to them, mm-hmm. but also done in a way that lets them experience it in a different way. If you're used to hearing the music while you're watching the film, this time you get to see it sort of lightly interpreted, the feelings lightly interpreted through dance. And new this year at the Amsterdam is we're actually going to have the performance semi in the round. So it's a little more intimate this time. The dancers will be closer to the audience and we'll be able to have a more deep connection that way.
I have never been to the Amsterdam Bar and Hall, and I'm curious.
You got to come down.
It.
We'll get you a ticket.
Oh, I would love to do that. And so I want to make sure that we know what time these shows are. It's December 1st through the 3rd, but what time do you start?
Yes, on Friday, December 1st, it's a 7 p.m. show. Okay. On Saturday, December 2nd, it's 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. And Sunday, December 3rd, it's 2 p.m. And I want to highlight that those are pretty family-friendly times. I have a two-year-old now, and it never occurred to me before thinking about, you know, kids that go down for nap time. And, you know, these times, the show runs about an hour long, and the times are hopefully family-friendly. It doesn't start too late. Lap sitters are free and kids up to 12 or 10 bucks. That is one correction from the press release that we should have sent. 10 bucks for kids up to 12. So it's also cost effective for families. So it should be a good time.
So say that one more time. $10 for whom?
Yes, lap sitters are free. So if you've got a kiddo that's going to be sitting on your lap, that's free. Kids up to 12 are only $10. And then adult priced tickets are 22 in advance and 24 at the door, I want to say. I hope I didn't say that wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So if people want information, where do they go?
I was just about to say, you can go to rhythmicallyspeakingdance.org/chill. The tickets are available through Amsterdam Bar and Hall, but we have direct links that'll make it easy for you to select the show you want to go to. And come check it out.
One more question. What are the outfits like? Give me a little taste of it. Come on.
I love this. We wanted to pay homage to the playfulness without it feeling like we're adults trying to be children, if that makes sense. So we wear bright monochrome outfits. So we've got someone in bright red, someone in bright yellow. So it's playful, but not like adults trying to be children.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it, Erin. Congratulations. You guys are doing it another year. And that's a really big deal. It's not easy these days to keep those things going, right? And so you're keeping it going. That's a really big deal. Tell everyone I said hello, those that remember me or don't remember me. Just know that I'm rooting for you, and I sure hope that I can bring my grandbabies and come to see
the
piece. I'm going to do my best.
We'll send you some tickets.
I promise that, Erin. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. You take
care. Take care.
Oh, my gosh. I love to see dance. And at the Kohl Center, you can go there and see dance. And I tell you, it's remarkable when you watch how they, and even Northrop Auditorium, by the way, make sure you look into that, too, and see what dance is being done there at that particular theater, because it's amazing and it can really move your heart and soul. So stick and stay with dance as much as you can, because it's something that inspires young people for sure. They go, why can't I do that? I want to learn how to do that move. And you never know. You may have a gym. You may have that one child that is doing it and doing it well. All right. As we wrap up this half hour, I do. I'm really looking forward to my next guest because we all know I'm too. It's Rohan Preston. And during Center Stage, Rohan and I have a really good time. Sometimes I think he's nuts, but he probably thinks I'm crazy. So there you go. Same, same, man. Same, same. So that will be our next guest. Rohan Preston will be joining us. He is the lead theater critic for the Star Tribune, and I always look forward to it. We'll be back. It is 9:33 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We believe you ought to know about it. And yes, Rohan Preston is our next guest. How are you, Ro?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to ask you that question, dude. Okay, so here you are, lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. What do you love more? Theater? Dance? I mean, tell us the truth.
Oh, I love theater. No, I do. I do. I love it, you know. Why do you love it?
Tell me why.
You know, first of all, you can be transported into a place emotionally, psychically, philosophically, with senses, by the power and the imagination of artists. And I, you know, it's like, you're endlessly surprised. You're endlessly renewed at the creativity, the depth, the genius, frankly, of so many people. And song can take you into memories, can take you into new places of discovery, can help you find things about yourself that you did not know, and reveal things that you're carrying in your soul, in your spirit, in your intellect. I could go on and on, but yes. So it's true. I love other forms as well. I do. I love dance. I love books. I love music. If I have to give up food or music, I'd give up food, you know?
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that. I feel the same way about that. That's for sure. You know, theater and I never got along, although I love to go see theater. But to be in a play, oh my gosh, to be in a play, I've always thought of you as one that could be in a play or create a play.
Yeah, you know, I've written plays and I've written songs and I've written other things.
Wait a minute, these songs, you sang them?
No, I'm not the singer. And you know, Stephen Sondheim was not the singer either. So he's my role model that way.
You put it out there, didn't you? That's pretty good, Rohan. That was great. Yeah, I wonder, have you ever tried to sing or no? Did your wife say don't do it?
I don't have a good voice. I can hear things, and I could, you know, help create things and all of that. But I don't have a singer's voice. My voice is for my own, and it's untrained for the most part. Like, I've never really worked on it. It has a limited range. My thing is not that. My talent is being behind the keyboard, not being on stage.
So I believe that you actually have a voice to sing. You know where this is going. Yeah, you know where this is going. And you can always tell me, nope, don't do it, Geraldine. Don't go there. Don't do it. It's not like flowers going to end up on my desk. No. So come on. I mean, I'm just curious to know if you would ever even think about it. And I think you have.
Yeah, it would be very brief. It'd be more like cameos and stuff like that. And I have, you know, obviously I've done workshops, and I haven't been on stage in front of large audiences for that. But I will step back and say I have done sort of performance poetry, slam poetry, and have a really long history of that and collaborating with musicians on stage. Before I became a respectable theater critic, I did a lot of sort of spoken word as well.
You did spoken word?
With jazz bands and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. You know what I did? I ran for Miss Black America many, many years ago. And I was supposed... No, seriously, man. I was a pageant queen. Yeah, I'm just telling you, man.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I know what your talent was.
Yeah, exactly. But here's what happened. We were in California for the big national one, and I was supposed to go out and sing, and my voice went away. I had nodes and didn't know about it, and so I came out and I started reciting. What is her name? The one that goes, "I was born in the Congo."
Oh, Nikki Giovanni.
Nikki Giovanni, man.
Yeah.
And I knew that piece inside and out. And I came out and I danced and I did my whole, you know, the whole poem. And then I stopped and I went, "Oh, man. Okay, how did that work out, Gerald? How did that work?" And then about five parents came on the stage and they sat down and said, "Everybody's supposed to sing or something." I was like, "Really? Really? Come on." Because they were expecting me to sing. But, you know, I got over it. I got over it. It really taught me a lot. So there you go. Has something like that ever happened to you?
It has. And it's funny because I just, I've seen Nikki do Ego Tripping, which is what you were just
such
saying.
A great
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough, that a star that only grows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad.
I'm bad. I mean, you gotta love it. I love that piece even today. Even though I don't remember it all anymore. I should go back and
well, you know, and part of the thing about performance like that is that you do, like, because it's similar to singing in that there's a lot of good breath control there. Like, if you do, like, a whole stanza on one breath of Nikki Giovanni.
Okay, go. You know, try it. Let me hear it.
Okay. "I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah." No, that's it. I didn't do it.
Try again.
"I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert with a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes. I crossed it in 2 hours. I'm a gazelle so swift you can't catch me. For a birthday present, there when he was three, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. Strength flows on forever."
Oh, my God. I love that piece, man. You just reminded me. So now I got chills, right? I have chills, you guys. So pieces like that, you never forget. Even if you don't get all the words right, but you did. No matter what it is that stops you for a minute and scares you, don't let it scare you. Don't ever let it scare you.
No.
And I'm saying that to the audience that is listening tonight. If your children are interested in poetry, let them read it. Let them hear it. Of course, you get to okay it as the adults. You get to okay it or say no.
Yeah.
But man, just to be given a poem that can really make someone wake up, just touch their souls and wake up.
Exactly what you're talking about is the power of creativity. I mean, because this is something that we carry in us and we have in us, and we don't really know until something brings that light out of us and brings that passion and that fire. And so I love that about theater. I love that about music. I love that about dance. I love that about all the arts.
Yeah. It's quite remarkable where it takes us, that's for sure. Because a lot of us get involved in it and we have no idea where we're going. How big is this going to be or how small is this going to be for us? Some people start and they stop immediately and go, "Nope, that's not for me." Theater is kind of like that with me, you know. I've never thought that I was a great actress. Never once did I think, "Yep, that's what I should do." I've done it a few times, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I mean, so there are things... It's a spectrum, right? Because you're a tremendous performer, right? And... in certain parts of this theater, like, for example, you've done the acting. Have you done the musical?
Oh, right.
I mean, because you did, you did the piece on Broadway, right?
No, I did not. I was the only steel that was not in it because I had two small children and the man I was married to was traveling for work a lot. And I just couldn't do it. I talked to the producers. They actually called me and I said to them, "I cannot come without someone to support, you know, someone to take care of the children." And they said, "We're sorry, we can't take care of the children. So you're on your own." And I cried for, you know, about half an hour. And then I straightened myself up and said, "Okay, then." what else are you going to do? And I decided to be a comedian one time, one night. One night at Ruby's Cabaret. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I thought I was hilarious. Let me tell you, the people in the audience were like, what? The only time they laughed was when my fake nail fell off and it swirled up into the light and then came back down and somebody mailed it to me.
Oh, my goodness.
My acrylic nail, man. Yeah, you know, that actually happened to me. Okay, now I got to ask you before I let you go. You also sing. Yeah. You sing to yourself.
I do.
You used to sing to your children, correct?
I definitely.
Absolutely. Do you sing to your wife?
Yeah, I do a little bit, yeah.
Okay. So will you sing for me right now? If there was any song that you would sing live on radio, any song, come on. I'm going to sing with you.
Okay.
We're going to see if this works out.
Okay. All right. So I have to look at something, one of my original things. I'm going to look it up. There's a song called Sweet, Sweet Jamaica.
Sweet, Sweet Jamaica?
Yeah, it's called Sweet, Sweet Jamaica, I wrote it on the plane, and I'm going to read some of it before I get into it, which is like, it's been too long since I stuffed my bag with every sweet thing I could pack. I've flown the world on memories. Now these memories fly me back. Please guide the pilot and the plane, Lord.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 9:33 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We believe you ought to know about it. And yes, Rohan Preston is our next guest. How are you, Ro?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to ask you that question, dude. Okay, so here you are. Lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. What do you love more? Theater? Dance? I mean, tell us the truth.
Oh, I love theater. No, I do. I do.
Of course.
I love it, you know.
Why do you love it? Tell me why.
You know, first of all, you can be transported into a place emotionally, psychically, philosophically, with senses, by the power and the imagination of artists. And I, you know, it's like you're endlessly surprised. You're endlessly renewed at the creativity, the depth, the genius, frankly, of so many people. And song can take you into memories, can take you into new places of discovery, can help you find things about yourself that you did not know. And reveal things that you're carrying in your soul, in your spirit, in your intellect. I could go on and on. But yes, so, and it's true. I love other forms as well. I do. I love dance. I love books. I love music. If I have to give up food or music, I'd give up food, you know?
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that. I feel the same way about that, that's for sure. You know, theater and I never got along, although I love to go see theater. But to be in a play, oh my gosh. To be in a play, I've always thought of you as one that could be in a play or create a play.
Yeah, you know, and certainly I've written plays, and I've written songs, and I've written other things.
Wait a minute, these songs, you sang them?
No, I'm not the singer. And you know, Stephen Sondheim was not the singer either. So he's my role model that way.
You put it out there, didn't you? That's pretty good, Rohan. That was great. Yeah, so I wonder, have you ever tried to sing or no? Did your wife say don't do it?
I don't have a good voice. I can hear things, and I could, you know, help create things and all of that. But I don't have a singer's voice. My voice is for my own, and it's untrained. for the most part. Like, I've never really worked on it. It has a limited range. My thing is not that. My talent is being behind the keyboard, not being on stage.
So I believe that you actually have a voice to sing. You know where this is going. Yeah, you know where this is going. And you can always tell me, nope, don't do it, Geraldine. Don't go there. Don't do it. It's not like flowers going to end up on my desk. No. So come on. I mean, I'm just curious to know if you would ever even think about it. And I think you have.
Yeah, it would be very brief. It'd be more like cameos and stuff like that. And I have, you know, obviously I've done workshops, and I haven't been on stage in front of large audiences for that. But I will step back and say I have done sort of performance poetry, slam poetry, and have a really long history of that and collaborating with musicians on stage. Before I became a respectable theater critic, I did a lot of sort of spoken word as well.
You did spoken word?
With jazz bands and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. You know what I did? I ran for Miss Black America many, many years ago. And I was supposed... No, seriously, man. I was a pageant queen. Yeah, I'm just telling you, man.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I know what your talent was.
Yeah, exactly. But here's what happened. We're in California for the big national one. And I was supposed to go out and sing, and my voice went away. I had nodes and didn't know about it. And so I came out and I started reciting. What is her name? The one that goes, I was born in the Congo.
Oh, Nikki Giovanni.
Nikki Giovanni, man.
Yeah.
And I knew that piece inside and out. And I came out and I danced and I did my whole, you know, the whole poem. And then I stopped and I went, oh, man. Okay, how did that work out, Geraldine? How did that work? And then about five parents came on the stage and they sat down and said, everybody's supposed to sing or something. I was like, really? Really? Come on. Because they were expecting me to sing. But, you know, I got over it. I got over it. It really taught me a lot. So there you go. Has something like that ever happened to you?
It has. And it's funny because I just, I've seen Nikki do Ego Tripping, which is what you were just
such
saying.
A great queen of peace.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough, tough that a star that only grows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad.
I'm bad. I mean, you gotta love it. I love that piece even today. Even though I don't remember it all anymore. I should go back and
well, you know, and part of the thing about performance like that is that you do, like, because it's similar to singing in that there's a lot of good breath control there. Like if you do like a whole stanza on one breath of Nikki Giovanni.
Okay, go. You know, try it. Let me hear it.
Okay. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. No, that's it. I didn't do it.
Try again.
I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert with a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes. I crossed it in 2 hours. I'm a gazelle so swift you can't catch me. For a birthday present, when he was three, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. Strength flows on forever.
Oh, my God. I love that piece, man. You just reminded me. So now I got chills, right? I have chills, you guys. So pieces like that, you never forget. Even if you don't get all the words right, but you did. No matter what it is that stops you for a minute and scares you, don't let it scare you. Don't ever let it scare you.
No.
And I'm saying that to the audience that is listening tonight. If your children are interested in poetry, let them read it. Let them hear it. Of course, you get to okay it as the adults. You get to okay it or say no.
Yeah.
But man, just to be given a poem that can really make someone wake up, just touch their souls and wake up.
Exactly what you're talking about is the power of creativity. I mean, because this, this is something that we carry in us and we have in us, and we don't really know until something brings that light out of us and brings that passion and that fire. And so I love that about theater. I love that about music. I love that about dance. I love that about all the arts.
All the arts. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable where it takes us. That's for sure. Because a lot of us get involved in it and we have no idea where we're going. How big is this going to be, or how small is this going to be for us? Some people start and they stop immediately and go, nope, that's not for me. Theater is kind of like that with me, you know. I've never thought that I was a great actress. Never once did I think, yep, that's what I should do. But I've done it a few times, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I mean, so there are things, it's a spectrum, right? Because you're a tremendous performer, right? And in certain parts of this theater, like, for example, you've done the acting. Have you done the musical?
Oh, right.
You know, you, right. I mean, because you did, you know, you did the piece on Broadway, right?
No, I did not. I was the only steel that was not in it because I had two small children and the man I was married to was traveling for work a lot. And I just couldn't do it. And I talked to the producers. They actually called me and I said to them, I cannot come without someone to support, you know, someone to take care of the children. And they said, we're sorry, we can't take care of the children. So you're on your own. And I cried for, you know, about half an hour. And then I straightened myself up and said, okay, then what else are you going to do? And I decided to be a comedian one time. One night at Ruby's Cabaret. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I thought I was hilarious. Let me tell you, the people in the audience were like, what? The only time they laughed was when my fake nail fell off and it swirled up into the light and then came back down and somebody mailed it to me.
Oh, my goodness.
My acrylic nail, man. Yeah, you know, that actually happened to me. Okay, now I got to ask you before I let you go. You also sing. Yeah. You sing to yourself.
I do.
You used to sing to your children, correct?
I definitely.
Absolutely. Do you sing to your wife?
Yeah, I do a little bit, yeah.
Okay. So will you sing for me right now? If there was any song that you would sing live on radio, any song, come on. I'm going to sing with you.
Okay.
We're going to see if this works out.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. So I have to look at something, one of my original things. I'm going to look it up. There's a song called Sweet, Sweet Jamaica.
Sweet, Sweet Jamaica?
Yeah, it's called Sweet, Sweet Jamaica, which I wrote it on the plane. And I'm going to read some of it before I get into it, which is like, it's been too long since I stuffed my bag with every sweet thing I could pack. I've flown the world on memories. Now these memories fly me back. Please guide the pilot and the plane, Lord, as we glide across the seas, skimming sands and misty mountains to Mama's seasoned rice and peas. And the refrain, sweet, sweet Jamaica, from my feet to my crown, I've carried feelings for you, feelings that carry me home. Sweet, sweet Jamaica, full like Papa's honeycomb, I've carried you deep in my heart, this heart that carries me home.
Deep
that's the best I can do.
Heart. Oh, honey. Oh, my gosh. Listen to that. So what's your problem? How come you're not out there doing more of that? You can go to a karaoke. Look, me and my honey, I'm still trying to get him to go. He told me that we were going to go sing karaoke together. He showed up, stood right next to me, looking in front of the microphone. And then I said, okay, you ready? He goes, I'm not singing.
I'm sorry. I have to bring some sanity to this conversation. Don't do it, Rohan. She's tripping. She's trapped
do
you.
It, Rohan.
She is tricking
do
you.
It, Rohan.
She is trying to trap
do
you.
It.
Stop.
Look, dude, I'll come help you. Come on, just meet me at a karaoke place. Bring your wife, bring your children,
and you
will stand there and sing.
Me.
You got
thank
it?
You.
Okay, I'm not playing.
Guide yourself away from the light, Rohan. Away from the light.
I am the light.
I'll see myself out.
I'm telling you. Stick and stay with me, dude. We're going to get this done, okay? Deal? Look at him. He's not going to say it. Why you got to get into it, Jonathan? Out. Shut up. I wish we had more time, dear. Thank you so much. And if there's one play you want people to go see, what is it called?
I went to see The Grinch tonight, and that was really fun. And then there's another play called The Hairy Ape, which is an Eugene O'Neill play. It's supposed to be pretty spectacular. I'm seeing that tomorrow, and it's only on for another week. So,
The Hairy Ape.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so curious.
In Minneapolis at the Center for Performing Arts / Illusion Theater.
Okay, got it. Oh, my gosh, this was fun tonight. Thank you so much.
I know I'm jumping. I did see Trevor Noah this weekend. He was amazing.
I love him. I really do. If I was his age, I'd be up on him.
there's a lady who came and wrote, and she put his shirt on a
Rohan, we gotta go. And, we gotta go.
Okay.
We gotta go. Love you, honey.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Our last guest is Maya Garcia, director of I Am Betty. You want to hear this? We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. It's so great to have you join us tonight for Center Stage. Our last guest is Maya Garcia. She's director of a play called I Am Betty. Now, what is this? History Theater is excited to present the world premiere musical I Am Betty, the perfect recipe for holiday fun this year. Now, you'll catch yourself humming the memorable music from this world premiere production by Denise Prosek and Christina Luragaza. I hope I have that correctly. And leave inspired to go home to bake something new. Yeah, we're talking about Betty Crocker. And she has helped shape America's homes and appetites for over a century. Now, surprising to me and to many, she is not a real person. So many people have tried to find that out. But yeah, she was not a real person. And she was the one that cooked up in Minnesota. So it feels only right to tell her story here at History Theater. And I am so excited to introduce you to the director, Maya Garcia. How are you, Maya?
I am so happy to be with you, Jalen. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It is a pleasure. You know, I loved Betty Crocker and her story. And do you hear more bits and pieces about her as the years go on? It's really quite remarkable to me. Every now and then I'll catch some information and go, oh, when did that happen? Right?
Truly. For a fictitious icon, she certainly had an indelible influence in the American psyche.
Right, exactly. So tell me about this particular piece.
So this production spans 100 years. So we start in 1921. And, you know, even though Betty Crocker wasn't a real person, this production does something really important, which is it reveals the women behind the brand, their ingenuity, their innovation. You know, Betty Crocker wouldn't have been possible and wouldn't have been successful without all the brilliant women behind the scenes. So this production kind of opens that up and not only shows you how the cakes were baked, but, you know, all the ingredients and who was there.
You know, I'm excited to hear or to read that Raw Stages did a reading of this. And, you know, they have done such great work. And you learn so much more when you hear it, right? The pieces come together. And I'm curious to know how that was, how involved was Raw Stages for them?
Yeah. Raw Stages was my first experience working at History Theater. Denise Prosek and Christina Luzarraga invited me to direct the Raw Stages production. And in fact, that was at that time, which was just earlier this year, we just had an act one and now we have a full production. So a lot of work has been happening behind the scenes, and Raw Stages gave us an opportunity to workshop a lot of the script and music and decide and sort of discover where we were going.
Right.
Raw Stages is absolutely vital, especially in the development of new musicals.
It's
a lot of work. Sometimes it takes 5-7 years to develop a new musical.
Right. And of course, the creative team is so important. Tell us about who's involved and what they've done. We don't have enough time to talk about everything that they've done, but how they have made a significant difference in this piece.
Sure. Well, Denise and Christina have been working on the piece for years, and they've put so much. It's a labor of love. They put so much into it. There are the touch points in history that that will guide our audience through the journey from sort of the establishment of WCCO as a radio station that was largely developed. The station was developed in order to air Betty Crocker, in order for Betty to speak to her fans and get everybody to buy Gold Medal Flower, because Betty really touched the hearts of folks. It begins there. Denise and Christina have just done an extraordinary job. This is really Denise Prosek's coming out party, I like to say,
as
a composer. A lot of people, everybody in the Twin Cities knows Denise as a music director, but she is a brilliant composer. And when you hear this score, you're going to want to come back and see it again.
Right. Christina, and of course, for us, and all those that are listening right now, to hear about Betty Crocker and this piece being done, a lot of people are going to be interested in seeing it. And this is the world premiere musical. And again, it's called I Am Betty. This is happening at the History Theater in St. Paul. Many people, if you don't know the address, is 30 East 10th Street, 30 East 10th Street in St. Paul. It's happening and opening on November 25th all the way through December 23rd at the History Theater. If you want more information, you can either call the box office at 651-292-4323 or just go to History Theater with a T-R-E at the end, historytheater.com for more information. And the tickets are in between, what, $43 to $74?
Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a pleasure. I wish I had more time with you, Maya Garcia. So keep in touch with us here at WCCO, okay?
Absolutely. Call me anytime.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Take care. See you at I Am Betty.
All right. Thank you. My goodness, it has been wonderful tonight. It has been so much fun being here with you, each one of you that took the time to spend 3 hours with us tonight. It matters, because without you, we have nothing. Without you, we have nothing. So thank you for taking the time. I feel so blessed to know you all, to hear you all. And thank you. Anytime you want to call us, call in and let us know what you're thinking. Good night, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. It's so great to have you join us tonight for Center Stage. Our last guest is Maya Garcia. She's director of a play called I Am Betty. Now, what is this? History Theater is excited to present the world premiere musical I Am Betty, the perfect recipe for holiday fun this year. Now, you'll catch yourself humming the memorable music from this world premiere production by Denise Prosek and Christina Luragaza, I hope I have that correctly, and leave inspired to go home to bake something new. Yeah, we're talking about Betty Crocker. And she has helped shape America's homes and appetites for over a century. Now, surprising to me and to many, she is not a real person. So many people have tried to find that out. But yeah, she was not a real person. And she was cooked. She was the one that cooked up in Minnesota. So it feels only right to tell her story here at History Theater. And I am so excited to introduce you to the director, Maya Garcia. How are you, Maya?
I am so happy to be with you, Jalen. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It is a pleasure. You know, I loved Betty Crocker and her story. And do you hear more bits and pieces about her as the years go on? It's really quite remarkable to me. Every now and then I'll catch some information and go, oh, when did that happen? Right?
Truly, for a fictitious icon, she certainly had an indelible influence in the American psyche.
Right, exactly. So tell me about this particular piece.
So this production spans 100 years. So we start in 1921. And, even though Betty Crocker wasn't a real person, this production does something really important, which is it reveals the women behind the brand, their ingenuity, their innovation. Betty Crocker wouldn't have been possible and wouldn't have been successful without all the brilliant women behind the scenes. So this production kind of opens that up and not only shows you how the cakes were baked, but, all the ingredients and who was there.
You know, I'm excited to hear or to read that Raw Stages did a reading of this. And, you know, they have done such great work. And you learn so much more when you hear it, right? The pieces come together. And I'm curious to know how that was, how involved was Raw Stages for them?
Yeah. Raw Stages was my first experience working at History Theater. Denise Prosek and Christina Lizárraga invited me to direct the Raw Stages production. And in fact, that was at that time, which was just earlier this year, we just had an act one and now we have a full production. So a lot of work has been happening behind the scenes, and Raw Stages gave us an opportunity to workshop a lot of the script and music and decide and sort of discover where we were going. So Raw Stages is absolutely vital, especially in the development of new musicals.
It's
a lot of work. Sometimes it takes 5-7 years to develop a new musical.
Right. And of course, the creative team is so important. Tell us about who's involved and what they've done. We don't have enough time to talk about everything that they've done, but how they have made a significant difference in this piece.
Sure. Well, Denise and Christina have been working on the piece for years, and they've put so much. It's a labor of love. They put so much into it. There are the touch points in history that that will guide our audience through the journey from sort of the establishment of WCCO as a radio station that was largely developed. The station was developed in order to air Betty Crocker, in order for Betty to speak to her fans and get everybody to buy Gold Medal Flower, because Betty really touched the hearts of folks. So it begins there. Denise and Christina have just done an extraordinary job. This is really Denise Prosek's coming out party, I like to say,
as
a composer. A lot of people, everybody in the Twin Cities knows Denise as a music director, but she is a brilliant composer. And when you hear this score, you're going to want to come back and see it again.
Right. Christina, and of course, for us, and all those that are listening right now, to hear about Betty Crocker and this piece being done, a lot of people are going to be interested in seeing it. And this is the world premiere musical. And again, it's called I Am Betty. This is happening at the History Theater in St. Paul. Many people, if you don't know the address, is 30 East 10th Street, 30 East 10th Street in St. Paul. It's happening and opening on November 25th all the way through December 23rd at the History Theater. If you want more information, you can either call the box office at 651-292-4323 or just go to History Theater with a T-R-E at the end, historytheater.com for more information. And the tickets are in between, $43 to $74? Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a pleasure. I wish I had more time with you, Maya Garcia. So keep in touch with us here at WCCO, okay?
Absolutely. Call me anytime.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Take care. See you at I Am Betty.
All right. Thank you. My goodness, it has been wonderful tonight. It has been so much fun being here with you, each one of you that took the time to spend 3 hours with us tonight. It matters, because without you, we have nothing. Without you, we have nothing. So thank you for taking the time. I feel so blessed to know you all, to hear you all. And thank you. Anytime you want to call us, call in and let us know what you're thinking. Good night, everyone.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.